and welcome back to the Palmer's Podcast.
Thank you.
And today we're speaking with Joyce Ross, formerly of Salter Springs and well-known identity from the Mid-North, who now resides in Burnside in Adelaide. Friday the 15th of October was International Day of Rural Women, so I thought it was only fitting that we have a chat with Joyce, one of the district's more notable rural women, before that was even a recognised thing. Joyce is officially a nonagenarian. I think it means you're in your 90s.
Well, yes.
And has a few interesting stories to share. So I'll welcome Joyce and thank you for coming on the Farmers Podcast.
Well, thank you so much for your experiment.
So whereabouts was your farm when you were living up here?
Right, well, the farm was at Salter Springs, which is not far away from here, which is about from my house, about 15 miles away from Balaclava, on the River Wakefield. And just an ordinary... I said I was never going to marry a farmer, and I did. So that was the beginning of the end, or the beginning of the beginning.
So was farming or agriculture always in your family?
Yes, my father was a farmer at Erith, a little place which most people say, where in the heck is that? That's 7 miles the other side of Balaclava towards Avon and Long Plains.
West of the 9 mile.
Yes.
Any other siblings or sisters or brothers in your family?
No, not so fortunate, no, no. I'll tell you this, we're five or six families living around the area of Salter Springs where I eventually settled, and they all had one child each.
Wow.
Most unusual.
Whereabouts did you study?
I studied at Erith School, which is a little school one and a half miles from home. It's on the way to Long Plains. We walked there with my two brothers. Arnold was the younger one and John the elder one. And then things got, well, my father and mother thought it was a bit dangerous, and we had an old black buggy which we harnessed up with a horse, and we transferred to Balaclava, which was 7 miles away. We were a bit more secure. I don't know about the driving of the buggy, though.
So who drove the buggy, your brothers?
Mostly. Although I remember one incident. We were coming home from school, past the race course, the Balaclava race course, and it was an old-fashioned buggy with the four-seater with the seats facing one another, and he whipped up the horse. Come on, he said, and the horse came on all right, and I shot over the the four seats onto the metal road. Oh, I was a mess.
Oh, right.
Yes.
How old were you then?
Well, I would have only been about, 10, I guess.
So what's your earliest recollection of living at Erith?
Pepper trees. Remember that? As children, we had very little to do with the farming itself. He was home from World War I, and we loved gathering the eggs each day, and that's about it, out and playing.
So you went to Balaclava, you finished primary school at Balaclava, did you go to high school there as well?
And then we moved into the township, and they bought a house right opposite the high school oval, so I couldn't linger on the way home at all or do anything untoward, because my mother was only 100 yards away all the time. And, Balaclava.
So after you finished your high schooling, did you go to teacher's college?
Or? Yes. As a young child, I played with my dolls. I played school with them. I really chastised them, I can tell you. I'm glad they were not alive. There ain't myself, of course, but I had all these make-believe dolls all lined up on the veranda.
So you went from Balaclava High to Teachers College.
Yes,
where was that?
Teachers College, yes. We had to make up our minds what to do. So I chose teaching, naturally. I was used to teaching my dolls. And my elder brother went into the railways as a guard, and my younger one joined the police force. Our parents said, now make sure you get a government job. You'll be always sure of income. We enjoyed that, and my younger brother went on, the one in the police force. He was a member of the police band, which was suited him fine. He used to play the bugle at every Anzac Day on North Terrace on behalf of the state, and they had band competitions in those days, and they would go to Ballarat for the competitions. And John, he loved going tracking up and down the Northern Line on the carriages, taking the tickets as they did. And of course, having learnt music and singing at Balaclava, dear Grace Anders played a big part in my beginning of the arts. I was the first student, the schoolgirl, to join the old the music lovers, and you were too young to remember those. It morphed into the community arts in latter years. And then I was asked to sing at various things, and it just escalated from there. And, of course, I did the music course at the Teachers College on Kintore Avenue.
How many years were you at Teachers College?
Two years. And then I had the chance, being a music student, I was sent along to the Adelaide Conservatorium to do singing and music, and I did most of that at school when I went out teaching, to the detriment of their reading and writing, I think.
So you finished Teachers College. Where was your first appointment?
At
teaching.
Woods, little place, not far from here.
And so Woods was in a little scrub.
Yeah, in a scrub, about 14 students, and as a matter of fact, your father went there. I'm sure he was there.
Yes, he did. School. Yes.
He was one of the good ones. First thing I did was find out who was the ink monitor. It was a cohort of yours, Cameron.
Yes.
Cameron Wood.
Yep.
Yes, he mixed up the ink with it came in powder form. Then you had to mix it with water. And I enjoyed my time at Woods.
So you were at Woods. How did you travel from Balaclava to Woods every day?
Well, it was 10 miles away, so I bought myself a little BSA auto bike, which I zipped along in that, and all weathers. But the boys, the elder boys in the school, played tricks on me several times. I was all rugged up to go home, and nothing would start. I was trying to start they'd got hold of my spark plug, took it out and pressed the points together so it wouldn't spark. And they thought it was hilarious fun. I didn't. And a couple of times I had to walk part of the way because I got too tired of pushing the bike.
Did you ever find out who did it?
Oh, yes, they laughing. They couldn't keep that to themselves. They knew they got the better of me, I tell you, all the time. And they were lovely, lovely children.
Except when they got stuck in the autocycle.
Oh, well, I knew that it was only a trick, a bit of a lair, and I took it in good faith and good heart.
So you were teaching year 1 to 7?
Yeah, 7 grades. And the first morning there, I looked at the crowd there and I thought, my God, how am I going to teach all these grades together at once? So I did that. All set them to work, and the big ones, they heard the reading, and the middle ones had stuff to copy. And we got through. We all helped one another. Then I got my parents to truck my piano out to the school, and we had marvellous singing lessons, which was nearly all day, every day. We had concerts, and we got on fine.
How many years were you teaching at Woods?
I didn't think you'd ask me that. I think about 5 years, I think it was, yes.
Is that when it closed? Or
That's when I met Des,
okay.
My husband. Yes, I didn't know he existed. And I went to the races one day, the Balaclava races, and after the... In those days, they used to have a little dance, or a little hop, as they called it, in the institute. And so I went along, and there I met Des. We won the waltzing competition, and after that I was hooked.
So that 5 years of teaching and then married to Des.
Yes, and I was talking about that, and when... I've forgotten whether it was when we were married or married women. The department, the education department, frowned upon married women and people with children. And I think Virginia's frowning at me. I think I've got it wrong. Anyway, it's too long ago to remember. But we had to resign. They wouldn't employ married women in the department. And when Virginia followed the same vocation, she had one day to spare when she was married and with children. She's nodding. So it affected us both. And, of course, in those days, the department paid us handsomely £4 a week for board and keep in Adelaide, of all things. Oh, that was my first trip to... on a train and to Adelaide, of all places, by myself and not with my family. And in those days, we left before the end of our appointment. We had to pay back what was owing to the department. It was pretty tough. They don't do that anymore, I don't think. I haven't checked. But anyway...
What was your first car? You had a powered bicycle. What was your first bike?
I sure it was.
So the BSA motorcycle was your first vehicle.
I didn't have a car until I married Des. We had a Chevrolet utility that used to play up with us. I remember one time, I used to stop at the corners when I slowed down, so I'd have to get up and lift the bonnet and jiggle something, and it would start again then, and... Another time I thought I'd been shot because a stone came through the screen and absolutely splintered the whole front screen. You get those things. And we had to choose, whenever I went off anywhere, I was given instructions of where to drive across the paddocks because you'd either get bogged or stuck in the sand. He'd have to come and pull me out, and he was not very happy about that.
We've got a few roosters in the background today, which is awesome.
That makes me feel at home because we had chooks.
Yep. So you moved to Salter Springs. What sort of property was that you were on then?
It was a mixed... it was in World War One.
So what year was that?
1418 Ward. And he was transferred to the Camel Corps. So he rode a camel in Egypt in the First
Des
World
did.
War. Yes.
Oh, right.
No, my father.
Oh, your father, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting around to it.
Yep.
And I came home and lived with my mother in Balaclava. So all we had was a old 25 Chev. They didn't have sedans in those days, but it was a car, it wasn't anything else. And of course, we had the train, we had a good train service. So we made use of that, although we didn't do much travelling in those days.
So when you married Des,
mm-hmm.
What year was that? 52.
52, thank you.
So 52,
I'm
married
Des.
I'm no
good on dates.
Yeah, and went home on Des's farm at Salter Springs, Erskine Park.
Oh, yes. Well, when I arrived, Des first took me home and showed he'd not very... had previously just purchased Erskine Park. That was for sale. And so he purchased a portion of it. Was all the neighbours had a piece of it too. And I saw this beautiful building with a tower. And I thought, oh, that looks pretty good. It looked a bit like a castle. Anyway, so he took me up the tower, and we could see all over the fields. It was a wonderful view. And we made plans then and then. He'd got all the white ant wood treated. We were going to get it restored and live in it. Then we discovered that it didn't have a damp course and it would cost too much. So built a new home just a small distance away. We still called it Erskine Park. And that was it until Des died, and then I was 3 years by myself living in the middle of a paddock, and I thought, my goodness, there's got to be something else to life but living in the middle of a paddock by myself. So that's when I went to Adelaide to look for a place, and I couldn't believe it. This spare house in Sydney Street next to the Burnside Village, it couldn't have been better. I go there every day.
All right.
Yeah, every day for lunch and get my mail and get my morning walk in. So it couldn't be better. And I've made lots of new friends down there.
What was the sort of things happened on Erskine Park while you were there that you can recall?
Oh, yes, there were lots of parties and picnics and birthday celebrations down there, and I had a beautiful floor for dancing and plenty of room to sling ourselves around. And at one stage we had the Elizabeth YMCA there. Used to go there every year for their yearly camp. And
Into the old Erskine Park building?
Yes, they had a housekeeper there to do their cooking, and the old home was useful. I've skipped so many years, I don't know why, but anyway, it's a long time ago.
I think you're doing very well. Des was a bit involved in a lot of land, Amelia, reclaiming a lot of land around your property.
Oh, yes, he was renowned for conservation and the environment, and he was, I think he was one of the very first farmers that had the farm contoured all over. It was 10 miles of contour banks in it, and then it caught on, the idea of contouring, because we had a lot of water erosion when it rained, and the river came down in flood. Which reminds me, I have a story about the flood.
Yes.
This particular time, Eileen and Archie, it's called Archie, that's very royal now, isn't it? went out to a Masonic ball at Balaclava, and on the way home, the river had risen. It was only a ford, and it stopped, of course, in the middle of the ford. And Eileen was in her best long dancing gown, and he was in his tails. And she said, "I'm sitting here." She was like that. And so he got, well, she was very definite. You knew if she gave an order, you obeyed her.
So is this your in-laws?
Yes, in-laws. Yes. I'm jumping all over the place, but so she made him take off his boots his shoes and socks, and he rolled up his trousers, and because he's in his long tails, so he had to carry his tails as he was walking across in this flooded river. That caused a bit of merriment at the time. Well, in those days they did a lot of entertaining, despite the fact that they didn't have any power. And, it was very primitive, and they were very friendly with Sir Arthur Barrett and his wife, whatever he was. What was he, Lord Mayor or something? And they had a roast dinner. They had a maid then. I don't know how many farmers could afford a maid, but she had one. Well, I laugh when I think of it. Anyway, the maid came into the dining room and in a terrible tiz, and she called her Eileen out, and she said, "I've dropped the roast, it's on the floor." He said, "Never mind, we'll pat it down and you put it back on the plate. We'll take it in, they'll never know." And they didn't know, of course. I don't know. Obviously, she dusted that day. Anyway, oh yes, another time. You don't mind these stories?
No.
Well, this all happened at Erskine Park.
This is the old building on the edge of the Wakefield.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. And oh yes, she had a guest stay overnight, and in those days you had to sort of put a bunk up wherever you could. Anyway, this guest stayed on the front veranda the night. And it, of course, he came in the morning quite distressed. He said, "I put my teeth on the cement," he said, "just down by the pillow." And he said, "I can't find them." Anyway, they found that the dog had got them. So, oh, gosh, it really puts you off, doesn't it? What else have you got to ask me?
Where did you used to, obviously, you went on a few holidays. Where was your favourite?
No, we didn't. As a young couple, we went separate ways. I remember Virginia and I went off down to Kangaroo Island, wasn't it, by ourselves, and he went off with Ralph Hill. Do you remember Ralph Hill? They went to the west to look at how green the grass was the other side of the fence. They thought that was the best way. You always, as a couple, you're listening, folk, you need a break away from one another for a while because you come back refreshed. And so that's what happened there. Oh, and we love shearing time, of course. We used to have shearers come in, and they came from all over. We had shearers from New Zealand at one time. Oh, it was a lot of work. You girls, you know what a lot of work shearing is. All those meals, they eat your pantry out. And so that kept us busy, and we as children, we didn't play games much. We were sort of three different children, and so we used to do a lot of tree climbing. That's why I had all those pepper trees, and we'd come home all stuck up with that glue that comes out of it. And I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, and we loved playing in the wool. That was a great treat. And another day that Virginia was home on holidays, and we had an agent called, and he wanted to know where Des was. We said, "He's out there on a green massy." We didn't know one massy from another. I mean, a massy is always red.
Yes.
Yeah, you knew that one. So that was a bit of a joke. Yeah.
You were heavily involved, you said, the Music Lovers Society, and then later it became the Borough Club of Community Arts.
Yes, that's right. I was their first...
do you want to talk to me about that?
Oh, yes, I can. I was the first secretary, and you all know Diane Spence, and she was the president, and we got it going. And, it's led to... Now they have a Stedfords, but I enjoyed that. I think I liked that most of all. We were always working on something. Des would go to Adelaide during the day because he was engaged with all these committees. I hope you can piece this all together afterwards. He had a heart attack and couldn't do heavy work, so everybody got to hear of it, and he was president of this and secretary of that and whatever. And... He would come home ready for his evening meal, and I'd say, your meal is in the oven, and I'd go off to my arts nights. So we hardly saw one another. And but I think that's the way to get on. You need breaks from one another. Not that we didn't love each other. We did.
Did you have a highlight when you're in the community arts? Any productions that you particularly remember?
Oh, I remember them all. I taught the dancers, and we had all the Gilbert and Sullivan compositions and stories. And one year I was conductor of the music, and then I just loved it. And I used to go to every arts thing in Adelaide just about, and I was invited. I was a trustee on the Keith Michelle Theatre at Port Pirie during that period. I know I got a bit of a speed reminder on the way home one night because I was travelling too fast. And the policeman wanted to know why I was travelling fast, and I said, well, my husband gets worried if I don't get home on time. he didn't take much notice of that. I still had to pay a small fine, but anyway. So I don't think I'm quite a criminal, but I was on the way. Right, and we used to go for small concerts around the district, to Owen, to Horbury, Hoyleton, and the locals seemed to like seeing us make a bit of fun of ourselves. I remember once we went to Owen and gave a concert, and of course I was on my toes on the doing a toe dance. All of a sudden there was a big crack, and everyone gasped, and they said, "Oh, she's broken her ankle." And I had gone through the floorboards. That's what happened. So I didn't think I was that heavy. Why, the hole remained there for ages afterwards, but they eventually put a patch over it. Thank goodness. And you remember I used to teach dancing at the school, did I? Or didn't I in your day? But anyway, I had a couple of pupils. I will mention their names, but I had Roger and Gerald Uphill. I taught them, and they came to me, and they wanted me to teach them how to tap dance. So I think we had about three lessons, and I thought, well, we had a break coming up. I thought, well, it takes years to learn to tap dance. So, but anyway, and then they formed the Balaclava of Stedford, and I was on that committee, on the inaugural committee. And speaking of arts, the council were going to demolish the Balaclava old courthouse, and I thought to myself, gosh, we can't do that. It's got those beautiful pillars of justice out the front. So I went to them. I said, look, I'm going to stand in front of the bulldozer if it leads to that, to save this building. And I'm so glad I did, because it's used so much by lots of organisations these days. And anyway, we got there, and we got the minister up to open it, and we had a good crowd there. And it's gone on from there, and it's had a new roof put on and all sorts, so they're really looking after it. So I feel proud of that I saved that from being demolished.
Well done.
Yes.
Yes, well, it is still well used. The Balaclava Courthouse Gallery.
You got another question?
No, that's about it, I reckon.
Oh, right.
Anything else you'd like to share? Favourite pupils, like myself? Or?
Oh, yes, you're not too bad. Actually, I don't ever remember telling you off. Maybe I have.
You went back teaching after you got married eventually.
I went back for quite a time.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Virginia took over, sort of thing, because she was a teacher too. You remember when they couldn't get, all the silos were filled with grain, you know, and they couldn't, farmers were having trouble getting their grain stored?
Yep.
Do you remember? No, you wouldn't remember. You wouldn't be old enough. Anyway, we had the syndicate. Now, one syndicate of five farmers, we called ourselves Voltara, and we worked together as a group. We worked each other's farms, and it was not unusual to see three or four headers going in the paddock at once, and it was to help one of our members to keep his farm, so he didn't have to, well, he couldn't pay the probate. Anyway, then I'd get I'd be near the phone, and they would phone and say, quick, get your load in. There's room out. We're going to close soon. And it was Helen Smythe, my neighbour. She said, she laughed when she saw me trooping through the high stubble, lifting my legs so high I had to lift my frock up, because otherwise I'd get scratched or lost or something in the stubble. So that caused a bit of a stir too. It was not much of a story, was it, after waiting all that time?
That's all right. So, you know, there was no mobile phones, there was no UHFs or anything like that then, so that was the only way you could do it, was to just go out and tell them.
Yeah, tell them, yes. No. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having a chat with us today, Joyce.
Yes, I've enjoyed it too. I didn't think I would, but I have.
And thank you to Heatley Barbecues and Elders Rural Services.
Yes.
And a few of our other sponsors, Alano Waters. Who else we got there? Lots of them anyway. But thank you very much. And, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I wish you well. You're one of my pupils who really done well.
Thank you very much. Yeah.